Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. From City Hall Plaza, WNYC brings you a special broadcast of the official reception for pianist Van Cliburn. The mayor is proclaimed today as American Music Day, symbolized in the person of the young Texas musician Van Cliburn.
50 years ago, a tall, curly-haired Texan pianist named Van Cliburn was given the full Heroes Tribute in New York.
In just a few minutes, Mayor Robert F. Wagner will greet Mr. Cliburn and deliver the...
How was it that a classical musician could inspire this unprecedented idolatry? Well, it all started with Tchaikovsky. The first Tchaikovsky International Piano Competition, held in Moscow in 1958. It was part of a movement toward a cultural thaw in the Cold War, after a period of many years of complete disassociation between the two great superpowers, the U.S. and the USSR.
Earlier that year, in January, the United States and the Soviet Union had signed a general agreement on exchanges, including performing arts.
Yale Richmond was a U.S. Foreign Service officer at the time, working in Poland and the Soviet Union. The Soviet plan, he remembers, was to invite international musicians to compete with Russians for a grand prize.
And the idea was to gain publicity and show that under the Soviet system they were producing these great artists, and they wanted to show the world what they had done.
An international group of 50 contestants traveled to Russia from 19 countries, including a few Americans.
I decided I wanted desperately to go.
Pianist and Juilliard faculty member Jerome Lowenthal was then studying in Paris on a fellowship. He scraped together the plane fare and headed to Moscow via Prague to enter the contest.
Remember, this was 1958. Stalin had been dead for only 5 years. It was like going to the moon to go to Moscow. I felt that way. And for them, it was like being visited by people from another planet.
Once there, he encountered his competitor, the 23-year-old Cliburn, who had a few years before won an American competition, the Leventritt, and then drifted into a rather unremarkable career.
But everybody knew that he was an extraordinary young pianist, and of course he was an extraordinary person. You know, I was sort of an East Coast snob, and Van was a Texas Baptist of a style that was new to me.
You know, he was sort of a legend at Juilliard.
Critic Harris Goldsmith was studying at the Manhattan School of Music. He'd heard the talk about Cliburn, and later he heard the piano playing.
What I liked about this playing is that it was natural, and he had a beautiful tone, and he didn't distort the phrases. He was himself.
The jury thought so, too. And what a jury, a who's who of music, among them Russian pianists Emil Gilels and Sviatoslav Richter, composers Dmitry Kabalevsky and Sir Arthur Bliss. Chairman of the whole competition was Dmitry Shostakovich. Contestants were required to perform three times before the distinguished bunch over a two-week period. Cliburn famously tore into the Tchaikovsky First Piano Concerto.
I was told that when the competition was nearing its end, Van had created this absolute furor.
President of the jury, pianist Emil Gilels, was in a quandary. They all loved Cliburn's playing, but this was a Russian competition with many Russian competitors. Could they give the prize to an American?
Gilels went to Khrushchev and said, "I don't know what to do." And Khrushchev, according to the story I was told, said, "Is the American the best?" And Gilel said, "Yes." And Khrushchev said, "Then give him the prize." Now, that's wonderful. I like to believe that story.
And that is the story, everywhere you read about it. Foreign Service veteran Yale Richmond knows the story.
And the judges said, "Yes, he was the best." And Khrushchev said, "Well, give him the prize." But there is usually something political involved in anything the Soviets did with regard to the United States. And I think the Soviets were trying to show that they were sincere in carrying out the provisions of the cultural agreement.
History is made at the keyboard. Even before the Tchaikovsky concerto is over, the conclusion is clear. 23-year-old Van Cliburn of Texas, American-born and American-trained, wins one of the top honors of the world of music.
Literally, overnight, he went from total obscurity to having his name pronounced correctly, on the lips of every American, and every Russian, too.
He was the idol of the Russian Bobby Soxers. The young people thronged about him wherever he went, and they liked his good looks as well as his playing.
And I remember a woman coming to me, and she said, "Oh, we love him so much. He is like our son." Everybody loved him. Khrushchev loved him.
America loved him as he rode through the Canyon of Heroes in New York.
There is the cry. You can hear it in the background. The photographer is running before the car, and there is Mr. Van Cliburn, a tall young man, 6'4", and he looks tall as he's standing up there. He's gasping. He's shaking his head. He has a tousled, sandy head. He has his hand.
It was an odd affair, an event both classically patriotic and also hopeful beyond mere patriotism. The lanky Southern ambassador beat the system, it seemed, whatever the system was. This whole thing had simply not been expected.
Now, I certainly know now, and I don't know if I knew then, that the Russians had planned this competition as a post-Sputnik event to show that they were as supreme in the arts as well as technology. Some years later, people started saying in America, well, the Russians were so clever to give it to an American. But that really, I'm willing to swear, was not true at all. You would have had to be there to see how excited people were.
As my friends, I hope that you will say an occasional prayer for me, that I never fail to live up to what has happened today.
Whether or not Van Cliburn has lived up to the promise of all this is a matter of opinion, but it's a matter of history that during a warming trend in the Cold War, he was Charles Lindbergh, John Glenn, and the New York Giants all rolled into one. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishkin.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.